We're holding on Sadiq Dawood, Ahmed Bayes, the first line of the wide lines. We said in the Mishnah, so we had two opinions in the Mishnah about what's considered when a person is derech, is on a derech or chayka, and therefore is potter from Pesach Rishon. We had Rabbi Akiva saying that if he's anywhere further out than Merdiyim, which Ullah had told us that that Merdiyim is 15 mil away from Yerushalayim, and that led us into the whole discussion of how far a person can walk in a day, and then the whole discussion about the size of the sun's path every day, and the Viarakia, the whole discussion that we had yesterday. Then we had Rebbe Eliezer saying in the Mishnah that Derech Rechoika is defined as Me'as Skupas HaZor V'Lachutz, if he's outside the threshold of the Azara. So the question is, V'afagav Demotzi Ayil. So you're telling me that even though he's perfectly able to go into the Azara, V'lo Yamrinan Le'kum Ayil, we don't actually tell him you have to go in, and if not, you're going to be Chayiv Karis. How could that be? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, Yehudi oral shleimol. The word Yehudi was actually added by the censors. It's really just supposed to be oral. The word oral a lot of times is used to mean a goy, so some censor decided he didn't like it and added the word Yehudi. Whatever. Oral shleimol, a person who is an oral and did not have a bris milah, before, and we know that without a bris milah, he can't bring the Korban Pesach, and he can't, well, more to the point, he can't eat the Korban Pesach. Onush Koris Divi Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says he's Chayav Koris because, in other words, we tell him, you're an oral. Sorry to hear that. Go get a bris milah before it's time to bring the Korban Pesach, and that way you'll be able to bring it and eat it. So why would we say it by that, and we wouldn't say that by him being outside the Azara? So Amar Abaya, because like we said yesterday, Derech Rechoika L'Tahor, then Derech Rechoika L'Tamei. Because we see when the Torah says the Patur of Derech Rechoika, that he's Potter from Pesach Rishon, that applies to the Tahor. In other words, the problem with him is not, Rabbi Eliezer says like this, Derech Rechoika, we would say, is the same way as, for example, by Maisa Sheni. We say as the Gemara is going to say in a second, that what we're saying is that anything outside of the place where he could do it is considered Derech Rechoika. So the same way, as the Gemara is going to point out in a minute, the same way as by Maisa Sheni, we say that if a person is even one step outside the walls of Yerushalayim, he's still able to redeem Maisa Sheni, to transfer the Kedusha of it onto money, even though he could also take one step into Yerushalayim, and then he wouldn't be allowed to, because then he has to eat the Maisa Sheni over there. The same way, we could say over here that if a person is one step outside the Azara, and outside the Azara, you can't bring the Korban, then he's considered on Derech Rechoika. But we say that that only applies to a Tahor, because after all, with a Tahor, the vort is, it's not that he couldn't eat it this evening. After all, he could maybe even make it there in time to eat it in the evening. As we said yesterday, we had a machloikus between Ula and Rabbi Huda about whether if the person is far away, is so far away that he can't make it there in time for the shechita, but he can make it there in time for the eating, whether that works. But with the Derech Rechoika, the problem never was that he can't bring the korban and he can't eat it. The problem is that he's physically too, the problem is that he's too far away, and that's the patur. As opposed to when it comes to a Tomei, we don't say that. A Tomei is not excluded from the Korban Pesach because he's far away. He's excluded because he's not going to be able to eat it that evening. Well, the same thing applies to an Oral. An Oral is not going to be able to eat the Korban Pesach this evening either. The reason why we use the word Tomei, Rashi says, is just because the previous discussion in the Gemara where we use this expression was talking about a Tomei, so we use that. But here, the more precise thing would have been to say the En Derech Rechoika L'Oral, but we're using Tomei, in other words, in the generic sense. So the Tomei and the Oral are people who could fix up their situation, and therefore they didn't, therefore they're chayev, as opposed to the Derech Rechoika, the Torah gives him an automatic patur. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that even, yes, we could say that the Oral, well, you're going to tell him to have a bris milah, and if not, then he's going to be chayev kares, but the one who was on Derech Rechoika, we're not necessarily going to say that. Okay, Tosfos asked the question. I mean, it's kind of odd then. You're saying if he's standing outside the Azara, and he's an Oral or a Tomei, then he's going to be chayev Pesach, then he's going to be chayiv in the Korban Pesach. And then if he does get a milah, or he does become tahor, then we're going to say he's potter on the grounds of Derech Rechoika. What's the logic? Because he had a bris milah, or because he made himself tahor, therefore now he has more of a patur. So Tosfos just says, okay, maybe it's the kind of thing that it's one of those kind of things, as the Gemara sometimes says, kol haroi labilo, that if you have a person, if he is otherwise suitable to bring the Korban Pesach, and the only problem is that he's not in the Azara, then yes, we can say there's more reason to pater him than we would if he's not even suitable on the grounds of being Oral or Tomei, where there we would tell him, go fix up the situation that put you like this, go get yourself a bris milah, go make yourself tahor. The Tzlach talks about an idea that maybe he discusses that maybe there could be a difference. Maybe that Oral we're talking about, that Rabbi Eliezer would require him to get a bris milah, is when he's actually inside the Azara. Anyway, okay, so that's one answer. So that's one answer, is that that yes, if he's outside the Azara and Tahor, then Rabbi Eliezer and not an Oral, then Rabbi Eliezer will pater him and not force him to go in. If he is an Oral or a Tomei, then no, he doesn't get an exemption on the grounds of Derech Chochoka. He might get in the case of Tomei, if he has no choice, then he's Potter on the grounds of Tomei. But if not, if he had a choice to make himself Tahor, then he has to make himself Tahor. Namely, for example, if his last day of Tumah is today, for example, the Tomei Sheretz that we talked about several times, then yes, we're going to require him to tovel in the mikveh in order that he can bring and eat the Korban Pesach. Okay, that's one answer. Rava Amma Tanoi. Rava says a different answer. This is actually Machlokas Tanoim within what Rabbi Eliezer says. Netanya. Rabbi Eliezer, Nema Richuk Makam Pesach, Nema Richuk Makam Meiser. A Braisa says that Rabbi Eliezer learns the fact that the Derech Rechoik over here from a similar expression that it says by Meiser. By Meiser, it says, V'chiyirba Mimcha Derech, if the way is too far away, Ki Yirchak Mimcha Makam. So, Malahalan Chutzlachibos. So, over there, again, a person can redeem Maiser Sheni, and he can't eat it, even if he's only one step outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Then he can't eat it over there, but he can redeem it. Afkan chutz l'achilasa, the same way over here. Derech Chochoka means that he's even one step outside of where he can do the Korban Pesach. That's one opinion of what Rabbi Eliezer says. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, I'm not sure, remember the Eliezer, chutz la'asi, I misstated that. Malachan chutz la'achi losay, afkan chutz la'achi losay. Just like by Maisa Sheni, we're saying that he's far away, means defined as he's outside the place where he can eat it, namely the city of Yerushalayim. Afkan chutz la'achi losay, the same way the Tanakama of this Braisa would understand Rabbi Eliezer to be saying that only if he's outside Yerushalayim, but not if he's inside Yerushalayim, and just not in the Azara. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Chutz La'asi Yosi. And then you have another, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, saying in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that no, it means with Ma'aser Sheni, you don't have Asiyah, you just have eating it, and that's in the whole Yerushalayim. But with the Korban Pesach, you do have a place of Asiyah, namely the Azara. And therefore, we can say that Rabbi Eliezer would say, if you're outside of the Azara, then you're potter on the grounds of Derech Chochoka. The point is, Rashi and Tosfos say, now that we find that there are actually different opinions of what Rabbi Eliezer says, then we can say that actually the Tana who says that Rabbi Eliezer would say the Oral is that the Oral Shaloi Mol Onush Kodesh is actually talking about when would Rabbi Eliezer pater him? Only if, in addition to being Oral, he's actually further out than Medius, like Rabbi Akiva's opinion in our Mishnah. So then we wouldn't tell him. Then we would say, okay, you have no choice. You're on Derech Chochoka anyway. Therefore, you're pater. But in other words, once we find that there are different opinions within Rabbi Eliezer, maybe there's another opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that would distinguish with the Oral whether he's closer or further than the 15 mil away from Yerushalayim that prevents him from reaching Yerushalayim in time. So in other words, you would have three opinions within what Rabbi Eliezer says. One would be similar to Rabbi Akiva, that the cutoff point is he closer to Yerushalayim than Median or not, and therefore in the case of the Oral, we're going to say he's potter if he's further out than that, but if he's any closer than that, we're going to tell him you must get a bris milah today and then come bring the Korban Pesach. A second opinion would be only if he's outside Yerushalayim would he be potter. And the third opinion would be even if he's outside the Azara, he's potter. Okay. The Gemara says, "Keman ozla hada am Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yosef, etmeim holachach haroi va'imdin ba'azara." Which of these opinions would be, would it go according to this that Rabbi Yitzchak said, Rabbi Yitzchak by Rabbi Yosef says, b'tmeim holach achar roiv ha'omdin ba'azara, when it comes to the tmeim, when it comes to, we've learned before, that you bring the Korban Pesach, if most of the people are tamei, how do we determine most of the people? We go according to most of the people standing in the azara. So in other words, if in the Azara there are mostly the Jews that are there are mostly Tomei, or actually to be exact, the Rambam says what it means is right before they go into the Azara, we start counting them. And we don't care about the ones who are further, we don't care about the ones who are further away. There may be many other Tahurim there, but we don't count them. Still we go b'tumah. Come on, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Shama Mashum Rabbi Eliezer. That would be according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer, which is the version of Rabbi Eliezer that we said in the Mishnah, that as long as he's anywhere outside the Azara, then he's considered B'derech Rechoika, and therefore we would say they don't count towards the Tmeim. So according to that, yes, there is a version of Rabbi Eliezer, namely the one in our Mishnah, which now we know is according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that anybody who's outside the Azara is considered on Derech Rechoika. But then we're saying there's at least one other opinion within Rabbi Eliezer that we see clearly in the Braisa, namely that if he's outside Yerushalayim, then he doesn't count. And now we can say, therefore, there apparently is a third opinion in Rabbi Eliezer who adds also if he's further out than Medim, like Rabbi Akiva says. And then that opinion then would say that would be the one that says that then if you have an oral, if you have a person who's an oral and he's out and he's further out than Median, then he's Potter, but otherwise not. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Amar Alei Rabbi Yosi Leficha Chola, we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yosi pointed out that you have a detail in the Pasuk that supports Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, namely the fact that there, on the word Rechoika in the Pasuk, there's a dot over the letter Hey, which means therefore it's as if we delete the whole word or as if we delete the letter Hey, and that means that it's not that he's actually on a distant journey, but just that he's outside the Azara. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, Derech, when the Pasuk says that he's, if the Pasuk only said that he's on the road, Shemeani Mahalach Shnayim or Shloshi Yomim, you would think that means only if he's 2 or 3 days, only if he's 2 or 3 days away. But since the pasuk continues again and says that if he wasn't on a journey, in other words, therefore, why did it have to repeat that word of a derech? So from there, you see that from the threshold of the Azara, further out, is called a derech, is called a way, and therefore, if he's over there, then he's potter. So again, according to Rashi, and according to the pshat of the sugya over here, what we're saying is, regardless why the reason is, why he's not coming in, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he would, in fact, be potter. According to the Rambam, it's more a matter of if he doesn't come in, let's say because he's sick or something, then we say he has the patur of Derech Rechoika, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And again, according to the Rambam understands that when a person is Tomei or Derech Rechoika, they have an automatic patur from Kores, meaning even if then they ended up not bringing the Pesach Sheni B'mezid, and we said the other day that Rebbe says a person can be Chayev Kores for Pesach Sheni, but these wouldn't because they had the exemption of Derech Rechoika. With that said, the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Akiva, that Derech Rechoika is min amedim v'lachutz. So therefore, if a person is any closer than Medin, then he doesn't get that patur. Then he either has to make it, or we said if there's a traffic jam and he can't make it, then it's rather more that he was onus. It's not so much that there was a patur. He's still going to have to make sure to bring Pesach Sheni and not be mazed and fail to bring it. All right. The Mishnah says, Tzadikei Omer Aleph, Ma ben Pesach HaRishon LaSheni. Now, what are the differences between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? So the differences are as follows. Harishon also b'val yiroh b'al yimatzah. Pesach Rishon, you have an isur to have matzah, to have chametz anywhere in your possession. It's not allowed to be seen. It's not allowed to be found, as we learned extensively at the beginning of our Masechta. V'asheni, chametz and matzah, imei b'bayis. The second one, you're allowed to have chametz and matzah in your house at the same time. We're going to learn in the Gemara how exactly we learn these various details in the Mishnah, how we learn what applies, what mitzvahs of Pesach apply to Pesach Sheni, and what don't. We're going to go through them, and we're going to understand how we know which ones apply to Pesach Sheni and not. So this is one of them. Rashi on the Pasuk actually says that only when the person is eating the Korban Pesach is he chayav, does he have to eat matzah and he can't eat chametz with it. Actually, the Minchas Chinuch asks, where does Rashi get that from? You don't seem to see that anywhere in the Gemara over here. It seems to be that you're allowed to have chametz and maybe even you're allowed to eat chametz with it. Okay. And the deeper idea of it, apichsidus, is the idea that Pesach Sheni is nitok and farfalin. That means that there's always a makeup, and therefore Pesach Sheni is you don't need the whole thing of getting rid of chametz, of getting rid of tam badas and whatever, because you're able to bring tam badas into your avoda. Okay. Anyway, also harishin ton halal b'achilos. So the first Pesach you have to say halal while you're eating it. B'asheni ain't a ton halal b'achilos. So the second one you do not. But both the first and the second Pesach, you do need to say halal while the korban is being brought. We learned earlier how they would be the three groups by Pesach Rishon, and they would say halal. The Levim or the Yisraelim, as the case may be, would be saying halal while the korban is being brought. So here by Pesach Sheni, you have to have the same thing, but not during the eating. And also v'nei cholent sli, also both of them have to be eaten roasted. Al matzah umrer, and both of them have to be eaten with matzah and murer. Now again, according to Rashi on the pasuk, you can't even eat chametz with it. According to Minchas Chinuch, we would say what it means is you have to eat matzah with it, but you could also have chametz. You could also be eating chametz together with it at the same time as well. The doichen, it's a Shabbos, and both of them are doicha Shabbos. If erev Pesach or Pesach Sheni comes out on Shabbos, then you still bring it. Tosfos points out that actually this list in the Mishnah is not exhaustive. There are more differences. The first Pesach brings from Tesefta. The first Pesach has to be shechted in three groups, like we learned earlier. The second one, you don't. Also, the first one, we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that the first Pesach has to be examined for Mumim 4 days in advance, and the second one doesn't. So it's one of these examples of Tana v'Shayer. The Tana gave a list, but he left out some things which he didn't list. And then as long as he leaves out at least two things, then we're fine. Then we're not worried about that he didn't give an exhaustive list. Okay. So the Gemara starts off Tana Rabbanan. Now, like this, how do we know what applies to the Pesach Sheni and what doesn't? So we have like this. If you look on the side over here in Torah Ur HaShalem, there are two psukim back to back. They have them listed over here in reverse order because the Gemara deals with them. The Gemara deals with the second one first, but let's read them in order. Pasuk Yud Aleph says, "B'chodesh Hasheni in the second month, ba'abah asu yom ben ha'bayim on the 14th in the afternoon, yasuo, so they should make it the Korban Pesach al matzahs umrerim yechluhu, they should eat it with matzahs and maror. Next pasuk Yud Beis, lo yashiru mimenu ad boker, they should not leave any of it over until the morning. Ve'etzem lo yishperu vayin, they should not break a bone in it. K'choch chukas ha'pesach yasuo, so they should do it according to all the laws of the Pesach." Now, when you get down to it, all the laws of the Pesach include the three things that the Pasuk mentions: eating with matzah and maror, not leaving over until the morning, and not breaking a bone. So that's what we're going to have in the discussion over here. So when the Pasuk starts saying "Kachol chukas haPesach yasu oisai," when it says according to all the laws of the Pesach you should do it, meaning Pesach Sheni, it doesn't mean all the mitzvahs of Pesach apply on Pesach Sheni. It means b'mitzvah shebegufay hakosav medaber. Means the pasuk is talking about mitzvahs that apply to the actual Korban Pesach. For example, this that you have to eat it roasted. Then mitzvah sha'al gufay minayin. Now, how do we know that also applies to mitzvahs that are together with its guf? Namely, for example, matzah and maror, which you don't eat. They're not the actual Korban Pesach, but they accompany the Korban Pesach, and they're eaten together with it. Now, Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, al matzah sumerim yechluhu, that you eat it with matzah and maror. So therefore, that's coming to include matzah and maror, which are something that are that accompany the Korban Pesach. Then then you would think maybe now we should be including even mitzvahs that are not involved, that don't involve the actual Korban Pesach itself. For example, getting rid of chametz from your house. Now the Braisa had started by saying Kechol Chukas HaPesach means only mitzvahs shebegufay. So the Gemara is going to ask, after we bring the Braisa, we're going to start analyzing it line by line. We're going to understand Why is the Braisa all of a sudden thinking that we should be including mitzvahs shaloy al gufay, for example, getting rid of sir, if we just started the Braisa by saying that kachol chokas haPesach means only mitzvah should be gufay? But anyway, the Braisa says, so how do we know that it means that mitzvahs shaloy al gufay that are not included? Talmud loymer ve'etzem lo yushbruvay. Therefore, the pasuk says you're not allowed to break a bone in it. Meaning, mash virasa etzem miyuchad. What's unique about the mitzvah of not breaking a bone from the Korban Pesach? Mitzvah shebe gufay. It's a mitzvah that applies to the actual body of the Korban Pesach itself, that you're not allowed to break a bone in it. Afkol mitzvah shebe gufay. The same thing, therefore, we include any other mitzvah that applies to its guf, but not other ones that don't apply to its guf. For example, getting rid of sa'ur. In other words, the Gemara is going to explain soon what we're doing is we're going to darshan it as a prat uklal. We're going to douch it as a series of prat uklals. So it winds up that we're only being marba some things. Isi ben Yehuda, says, never mind learning from the etzem lo yushbruvai. Just the fact, yasu oisai, the fact that it says in the second pasuk, yasu at the end, yasu oisai, it. The word it means mitzvah. Shebe gufay akosim medaber means the pasuk is specifically telling us about mitzvahs that apply to the actual body of the Korban Pesach. Those are the ones that apply to the Pesach Sheni, but not the ones like getting rid of chametz from your house, hashbos asur, which has nothing to do with the Pesach itself. Okay, so that's the Braisa. Now let's start analyzing it. Omar, we said in the Braisa, yochal af mitzvah shaloy agufay. You said at the end of the Braisa, you would think that maybe you should include also mitzvahs that are not with the goof of the Pesach, that are not even involved with the goof of the Pesach, namely, for example, Hashbasa Sa'ur, which has nothing to do with the Pesach itself. And we're saying that only because it says Ve'etzim lo yushbruvoy, that tells us to exclude that. What do you mean? You started the Braisa by saying that the words kechol chokas haPesach means the chukim that apply to the Pesach itself, to the korban itself. All of a sudden, you're turning around and saying that you would think to include other ones if it weren't for the word ve'etzem lo yishpruvai. So what's the logic of the Braisa? You have to realize, by the way, it may help to realize here that in Torah terminology, the word Pesach doesn't mean the Yom Tov of Pesach like we use it. The word Pesach in Torah strictly means the Korban Pesach. So we can't, so in other words, we started the Braisa by saying, when it says Chukas HaPesach, has to mean Chukim, has to mean mitzvahs that apply to the Korban Pesach itself, not the ones that apply to Chag HaMatzis, which would be the Yom Tov. So then automatically we're saying we know from that that it doesn't include Hashbasa Sa'ur. But then again, at the end of the Braisa, we're saying you would think maybe to include Hashbasa Sa'ur and you're saying to exclude it only because it says Ve'etzem lo yishbruvai. But what's the logic? We already said at the beginning that we're only including Chukas HaPesach. So the answer is Hochi Karma. What the Braisa means is like this. Hashta de'amet al-matzah semurem yichlevi. Fine, yes. When we start by saying kechol chokas haPesach yasu oisai, if we only had those words in the pasuk, then yeah, from that automatically we would know that it means only the mitzvahs that apply to the Pesach itself. But now we're mentioning the fact that you have the words al-matzah semurem yichluhu, alma yasu oisai lav davkahu. Therefore, that means that when it says yasu oisai, the word we thought to begin with that the word oisai means like Isi ben Yehuda says that it means only mitzvah shibigofai. But now, obviously, we can't say that because we already see that there are things that are not oisai that are being included, namely matzah and murder. So now that we say that, ema havala kipratuklal, now we would think then to understand these two psukim as a pratuklal, and we know the rule of anasa klal moisif ala prat. What happens is the Torah will give us a prat, and then it'll give us a klal, and that tells us expand the prat to include all of the klal. So therefore, if we figure that way, it vafilu kol milinami. Therefore, it would include everything, including Ashbasa Sa'ur, which has nothing to do with the Pesach. So we would say the Torah is giving us a prat and then a klal. Kamash malon. Therefore, the Braisa tells us that no, by saying ve'etzem lo yishbruvai, by saying don't break a bone in the Pesach Sheni, therefore the Torah is telling us don't make it a regular prat to klal, because you have to realize, if it was meant to be a regular prat uklal, then the Torah wouldn't have had to give us three different pratim. Like this, the Torah tells us, eat it with matzah and murder, don't leave over until the morning, don't break a bone. Those are three pratim. If it was meant for a prat or klal, it would have just said one of those pratim, and then it would have said kol chukas haPesach yasu oisai, and it would be a prat or klal, and we would say that it includes everything. Now that we have three different things, then it means, in effect, what we're doing is, as the Gemara is going to go on to say later, that in effect, we have three different prat or klals. What we're doing is, for each one of these pratim that the Torah mentions, yes, we're adding something to it based on the klal, but we're also, because it's not a regular prat or klal, therefore we're still leaving out something which is not similar to that prat at all. Normally, a regular prat or klal, we would include everything, whether it's similar to the prat or not. But because over here, we have three pratim, therefore, we're saying that for each one of them, we're marba something because of the fact that it says kachol kokas haPesach yasu oisai, but we're also being memayit something. So that's how it's going to work. Now the question is Isi ben Yehuda. Now Isi ben Yehuda says that you don't need that. According to him, just the word oisai by itself means only things that have to do with the Korban Pesach. So then the question is, hi etzem my ovidle. So what does he do with the fact that the Torah tells us not to break a bone in the Korban Pesach? If that is a mitzvah shebegufoy, and according to him, there's no reason for the Torah to mention it. The answer is, now, Tosfos asks, why is the Gemara waiting until Etzem Lo Yishbruvo? You have earlier, it said, fine, Al Matzah Sumerim Yechluhu, he would say you have to say also, because the fact is Matzah Sumerim are not a mitzvah Shebegufoy, they're only a mitzvah Sha'al Gufoy. Because the matzah and marah are not part of the Korban Pesach itself. You just have to eat them with it. But Tosfos wonders, why doesn't the Gemara ask what Isi ben Yehuda is going to do with Lo Yashiru Mimenu Ad Boker? So a couple of Achronim talk about possibilities. Isi ben Yehuda might say, as the Gemara is going to say later, that that's a special case because it's a lava nitikla eser, and therefore maybe we have to include it as well, because otherwise we wouldn't know that it's to be included, or just that it's needed, because if we only had the etzem lo yishbrovoi, we'd be learning something else from it, and then it wouldn't be available for Gzeira Shava, and he wants it to be available for Gzeira Shava. So Tosfos asked the question, Achronim give the answer. So according to Isi ben Yehuda, what is he doing with the pasuk the etzem lo yishbruvai? So he would use it to teach us what we've learned before, that whether the bone has marrow in it or whether it doesn't, either way a person is chayav for breaking it. Otherwise, we would have thought that maybe a bone with marrow in it, we should break, because after all, there's marrow inside, and if not, the marrow is going to become noiser, and therefore we should break the bone to get out the marrow and prevent it from becoming noiser. So therefore, Isi ben Yehuda said, we learned this previously, and Daf Pehe, that because it says twice, once by Pesach Rishon and once by Pesach Sheni, not to break a bone, then it means either kind. Now, then, of course, where are the Chachamim going to learn that from? Rabbeinu Hananel says over here that actually you don't need that. We learned in that Gemara before when we were talking in the sugya about breaking bones, that in theory what you could do is you could burn through the bone with a coal, or actually you don't even need that, because actually we had an opinion of Rebbe over there who said that that was as far as the brain and the head, they take it out through the nose without breaking bones at all. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about marrow and bones. But no, what we have is like this. We had an opinion of Rebbe in that sugya that said that if you break bones of the Korban Pesach before nightfall, then you're not over. We had a whole sugya over there about Rebbe versus the Chachamim, about whether it's Roy La'achila or not Roy La'achila, when are you over and when are you not? And we have like eight different explanations of Amiroyim. One of them was that Rebbe would distinguish and say that if a person breaks a bone in the Korban Pesach before nightfall, then he's not chayev. So therefore, the Chachamim in our Gemara would hold like that. They would say, so fine, you're able to break the bone before Yom Tov and get out the marrow. Therefore, automatically on those grounds, we can't allow you to do that on Pesach itself, because that we wouldn't say Ese Doicha Loisese in that case. Now, in other words, if we said there's no other way to get out the marrow, maybe we would say Ese Doicha Lois Ese. Although Tosfos brings over there from a Gemara in Zvachim that says that no, we see from this that when it comes to Kodshim, we don't say Ese Doicha Lois Ese. But if we don't take that view, if we say that even by Kodshim Ese Doicha Lois Ese, Fine. But the general rule is an esse is not doicha lois esse when you're able to accomplish the esse without violating the lois esse. Now, in this case, according to Rebbe, you could, because you could break the bone before Pesach begins, and then you'd be able to get out the marrow, and that way you're being mekayim both. You're being mekayim the mitzvah of eating the korban Pesach, and you're not over on ve'etzem lo yisish b'lovoy. So the chacham, so Rabbeinu Chanan says the chachamim in all Gemara may hold that way. Therefore, they say you don't need a second pasuk to tell us that you can't break a bone with marrow, because automatically we would know that. Because if you didn't break it before Pesach, then you can't break it on Pesach, because that would be then you'd be over on a loises unnecessarily. Whereas Issi ben Yehuda doesn't hold like that, and therefore he says you need two psukim for it.
The mitzvah of not breaking bone.
One second, I have a motion. Yeah. Yeah. Fine, you roasted it before. Right, you roasted it before Pesach. What's the problem? No, you have to roast it. It has to be ready to be. No, you can roast it during the day unless Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos. Obviously, you can't roast it on Shabbos. But otherwise, there's enough time before Pesach that you'd be able to. Yeah, besides which, also we talked about before that even if it's cut up, not necessarily is it a problem. L'chatchila, you're supposed to roast it whole, but it's not like you can't cut out a piece of it and l'chatchila fine. Yeah, whatever, Moshe.
The mitzvah of not breaking bones starts to shkia and finishes when?
Finishes, so that we also had a machlokes like this. If a person breaks a bone from a korban Pesach, that's noiser, is he chayev? If you say that yes, then it means that after the fact, he's not allowed to break it either. If you say that it expires when the korban becomes noiser, then there we go. At chatzos or at alois shachar, according to the different opinions. Okay. So anyway, so Issi ben Yehuda would say that the fact that it says ve'etzem lo yishprovoy is not meant to give us a prato klal, is not meant to give us the special kind of prato klal, but rather to tell us that there's a din that you're not allowed to break either kind of bone. Okay, so now v'rabbanon ha'yasu oisei mai apile. So now, ultimately, what are the chachamim doing with the words yasu oisei? To begin with, we said the word yasu oisei should mean mitzvahs that have to do with the Korban Pesach. But now we're saying in the end, we're not learning from that because we see that there are mitzvahs not directly for the Korban Pesach itself. For example, matzah and maror, that we are including that do apply to Pesach Sheni. So that means ultimately they're learning which mitzvahs apply and which ones don't. They're learning from the triple prato klal that we're going to discuss soon. So what are they doing with the words yasu oisei? The answer is miboyle shein shechten, it's a Pesach ala yochid. They would use it to teach us that you can't shech the Pesach Sheni for one individual. Yasu oisei, they, plural, should make it, dekama de'efshala ha'durim ha'durinan. In other words, we try to find other people to join him. Let's say imagine that the entire Jewish people brought their Pesach Rishon. There was nobody was Tomei, nobody was Derech Rechoika, nobody was Shoigig, nobody was Onus, nothing. Now you have one guy, one poor fellow over there who was Tomei or sick or Derech Rechoika or whatever and has to bring Pesach Sheni. We're learning from the fact that it says Yasu oisei that we shouldn't do that. We should arrange that there should be another Tomei person to join in with him on Pesach Sheni. Which means, Rashi says, what we're going to do is actually, in that case, if we find come Pesach Rishon, we look ahead and we realize there's only going to be one Tomei who's left for Pesach Sheni, then we're going to right now be Metame, one person with a Sheretz, and that way, now he's pushed off to Pesach Sheni, and therefore now you'll have two people together to make Pesach Sheni. Well, so it's two people, at least it's two. It's Yasu in plural. The truth is, Achronim asked on what Rashi is saying, because we learned before, first of all, you had an opinion that said that you could shech the Korban Pesach for a Tomei Sheretz. And second of all, even if we said that you can't, still we said if he tovels that day, then he is still able to have the Korban Pesach brought on his behalf. So what good does it do to be metame him with a Sheretz? We're just going to tell him afterwards he has to go tovel. But okay. Anyway, the point is we make sure that there should be a second person together with him. Now, so Rashi mentions once it says Yasu, then it already says the word Oisei as well, because otherwise you would just say Yasu is just the style of the Pasuk is to put things in plural. When it repeats the words Yasu Oisei from the first Pasuk, so now we realize, say the Chachamim, that it means that Davka, the Korban Pesach, has to be made by at least two people. Tosfos says now we learned previously that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we learned a few days ago that even that Pesach Rishon can't be shechted for Yochid. So why do we need a limud for Pesach Sheni? So we're saying the Chachamim over here would disagree with that. They disagree with that drusha. They wouldn't learn it from Lois Sochal Lizbayach as a Pesach Ba'achad. So therefore, they would say that it applies to Pesach Sheni. And once it applies to Pesach Sheni, a Kavachoymer that it applies to Pesach Rishon. And then that you can't shecht it for one person. Well, so again, we said the Rambam had learned because it's Noitzer, and then Rashi had said just because, well, the surface of the Gemara had said it's just because the Pasuk says, Lois Sochal Lizbayach as a Pasach Ba'achad, and therefore it means you can't bring the Korban Pesach for one person. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So now let's analyze again. So according to the Chachamim, the Braisa that we're going to quote over here is going to, the dinim that we're going to say in this Braisa apply according to everybody, but the drusha of how we're going to learn it is going to be according to the Chachamim, that they're not learning, that they're learning that we have the triple pratoklal. So we're going to go through and see what applies and what doesn't apply. So Tananabanan. When the Pasuk says you should make it according to all the laws of the Pesach, so you would think that the same way as Pesach Rishon, you're not allowed to have chametz around, the same way Pesach Sheni as well. No, therefore the Pasuk says, that's the first prat, and then you have the klal later that says, so the point is, in other words, we're going to say, for each klal, we're only marbe thinking that are somehow similar to that prat. So therefore, al matzah sumerim yechluhu is something, al matzah sumerim is something that applies to the Pesach or to something that goes along with the Pesach and not therefore sa'ur, not therefore getting rid of sa'ur, which has nothing to do with the Pesach itself. So the ainli ela mitzvahs aseh. Now, if you only had that, you would only know that mitzvahs aseh that apply to Pesach Rishon, apply to Pesach Sheni. Mitzvahs loyseh seminayin. How do we know that also the certain loyseh says that apply to the Pesach Rishon, apply to Pesach Sheni? Tamad lema lo yashirum menu ad boker. Therefore, the pasuk continues. By Pesach Sheni, they shouldn't leave over anything to the morning, which is a lav. The ainli ela mitzvahs loy. What?
Why do you say that chametz doesn't apply to the Pesach when you say that matzah? You're not supposed to have matzah chametz when you eat matzah, so it should apply to the Korban Pesach.
So Rashi says on the pasuk that you have to eat that. Rashi says on the pasuk that you're not allowed to eat chametz while you're eating Pesach Sheni, and the Minchas Chinuch wonders why that should be so. It doesn't seem to come out from our Gemara that way, but at any rate, we're saying eating matzah. No, we're saying matzah v'chametz imrei b'bayis, that just because you're eating matzah with the Korban Pesach doesn't necessarily preclude having chametz in your house. Having chametz in your house has nothing to do with the Pesach itself, it has nothing to do with the goof of the Pesach itself. Therefore, then it means it's coming to exclude that. It's coming to exclude other esses. For example, the esse of Tashbisu Sorim Bateichem, which has nothing to do with the Pesach per se. Now we're saying that also we know that it applies to loyseh says as well, certain loyseh says as well, because it says lo yashiru mimenu ad boker, and we're going to see soon which loyseh says are we being marbe and mamayit based on that. And then the ainli ela mitzvahs loyseh says shenitak la'eseh, then based on that you would only know loyseh says that are tied to an eseh, namely lo yashiru mimenu ad boker is a classic lava nitak la'eseh, because the Torah is telling you don't leave over anything to the morning, and if you did, then burn it. So therefore, that's a lava nitik lasa. The Torah is telling you, in effect, you did this isser, make up for it by doing instead the mitzvah. So mitzvahs loyseh say gomer minayin. How do we know that also there are loyseh says that apply to the actual Korban Pesach, which are not ones that you can make up? How do we know that some of those apply to the Pesach Sheni as well? Tamad leimer ve'etzem lo yishbur goy. Therefore, it continues. You shouldn't break a bone in it. And breaking a bone is not a lava nitik lasa, obviously, because once you broke the bone, you can't unbreak it. So now we understand. So ma prat mefurer. So now we have the prat says you have mitzvahs esse. The first one al matzah shemirim yechluhu is an esse. The second one lo yashiru mimenu ad boker is veloyse se shenitak la esse. And the third one veetzem lo yishbur bo is veloyse se gomer. Af. So now that we have a klal at the end, kachol chokas haPesach yasu oisei kol mitzvahs esse veloyse se shenitak la esse veloyse se gomer. So now we can include other esses and other loyse se shenitak la esse and other complete loyse se. So now we're going to go through each one of them and show which ones we're adding and which ones we're not adding. Ultimately, again, we're saying if it meant to add all esses, loyseh says, and loyseh says shenitak la'eseh, then it would have said just one prat. The fact that it says three pratim means that therefore we have to limit how much the klal applies to. So for each one, we're going to show what we include and what we don't. So let's go through them. B'chloloi de matzah sumerer ma'ikom rabbi. What are we including once we say al matzah sumerer mi'achluhu, which is an esse? What other esse involving the korban pesach are we including? We're including tzliyesh, the fact that it has to be roasted. Because that also has to do with the guf of the korban pesach. And b'prote ma'ima ma'itle, what are we excluding? Hashbasa sir, we're excluding the mitzvah of tashbisa sirim batechem, which that doesn't apply to Pesach Sheni. So the question is, epochana, why don't we flip it around? How do we know? Maybe tashbisa sirim batechem applies to Pesach Sheni, but sli esh does not. It doesn't have to be roasted. The answer is mitzvah de gufei odif, a mitzvah that applies to the body of the korban Pesach is stronger than one that doesn't. Sliyesh applies to the actual korban pesach. Hashbasa sor does not. It applies to the rest of your house. Therefore, we're going to say again, since it says gachol chokas pesach yasu oisai. So fine, even if we're not learning from the word yasu oisai that it applies to only mitzvah shibud gufay, nevertheless, the fact that it says gachol chokas pesach means it has to be something that applies to the pesach itself or to something that accompanies the pesach directly. So therefore, we're going to say that it includes sli and it doesn't include tashbisu sor. Okay. Next, what are we including in the cloud that's tied to lo yashinu mimenu ad boker? So we're including lo sotzi mimenu. We're including the lav that it says by Pesach Rishon not to take it out of the house. Now that is now in parenthesis you have over here, which it seems from Rashi that he didn't have it. The dummy lay, but anyway, it's somewhat similar. The high mifsel benoisa, the high mifsel beyotze, because one becomes possible with noisa and one becomes possible with yotze. But Rashi isn't good at that. Instead, the vort is that when we say lois sotzi mimenu, you're not allowed to take of the korban pesach outside the house or outside the area where it's being eaten, like we learned before. Rashi learns that it's a lava nita klaese. In the sense, if you did take it out, then you have a mitzvah to bring it back in and eat it over there. Now, that's not so simple, actually. When we learned before about it, we learned that if you take it out of the group, it actually becomes posel with yotze, and you actually osur to eat it. It's also on the grounds of basa basada trefa. Rashi says, our Gemara, our Tana of this Braisa, disagrees with that. There we were saying, and this is the halacha, that once it's taken out of the area, it's also to eat. Now we're saying that, no, if it's taken out, then you can just bring it back in and continue eating it. Right, then the rest of the carbon doesn't become possible. But if it's taken out of your shalayim, then for sure it becomes possible. Everybody agrees to that. That's we had the case over there on Daf Tei Vav or so, where you have to cut around. You have to cut around the bone until the flesh, and then remove the flesh that was outside, because that's going to be all that. And then but if it's sticking out of your shalayim, but if it's sticking out of the area where they're eating, the room within they're eating, then the Tana of our Braisa holds no problem. Just bring it back in, and then you continue eating it. Therefore, according to him, it's a lava nita klaese. Therefore, we can include that based on the fact that the Torah says lo yashinu mimenu ad boker. So you have a lav. You also have a lav to not leave over. You also have a lav not to take it out. But both of them are a lav on nitik la'esa. The noisa you have to burn, and the noisa you have to burn, and the yotzi you can bring back in and continue eating. Okay. Biprate ma'ikama ma'itle. On the other hand, because there's a prat, what are we excluding? Lo yirov, lo yimotze. So we're excluding the mitzvah of lo yirov, the isser, the lav of lo yirov, lo yimotze, which again, in parenthesis, the domile, which is similar, d'hai ene loika, d'ava lav shen nitik lasa, v'hai ene loika, d'ava lav shen nitik lasa. Both of them are lav on nitik lasa. So therefore, a person is potter for both of them. And therefore, we're saying that we're being mamayat that. Now, actually, Tosfos points out an interesting thing. It seems that now, on the face of it, we would say, that bal yirov bal yimotze. How is it a lav on nitik lasa? You had chametz in your possession. How are you undoing that by getting rid of the chametz? Tosfos says that no. We learned earlier in the Masechta that actually it is considered a lav on nitik lasa. If you had chametz in your possession, then you can still fix it up by getting rid of that chametz, and therefore we would consider it a lav on nitik lasa, same as any other. The same way as if you left over noiser, you have a mitzvah now to burn it. The same way, if you had chametz in your possession, then now you have a mitzvah to get rid of it. There's quite a bit of discussion about the Rambam's shita of it. Whether does the Rambam also agree? The Rambam writes that when is a person chayev for bal yira bal yimotze? Not if he just passively had chametz in his house, because then it's a then it's a lav she'in memaisa. Only if, let's say, he made dough during Pesach and allowed it to become chametz, then he would be oivan bal yira bal yimotze. Now it seems, according to that, then that's not a lav anitik lasek, because otherwise you would just say tell him to get rid of the chametz rather than getting malchus. So there is actually a good deal of discussion about the question: does the Rambam believe that as we're saying in the Gemara over here, that bal yira bal yimotze is a lav anitik lasek, or maybe not? I mean, the same way as we just said that yotze is only according to the tana of this braisa is a lav anitik lasek, maybe we could say the same thing about bal yira bal yimotze. It's not necessarily. So there is a lot of discussion about that. One of the ones who discusses it, the Alter Rebbe discusses it in a Kuntres Achron in Hilchas Pesach. And he says that, and in fact, he says that, yeah, the Rambam does not consider it a lava nitikla esa. He considers a lav she'in be maisa. So if there was a maisa, then he can be chayav malchus. Okay. So again, the question is epochana. Again, maybe we should flip it around and say maybe again once we have a prat or klal over here, we should say maybe we include the mitzvah bal yira bal yimotze and exclude the mitzvah of loisotzim menu, of not taking it out of the area. And again, the answer is mitzvah degufe odif. Again, the answer is the mitzvah that applies to the actual korban pesach itself is stronger. Therefore, if we're going to be marba something and mayit something else, we're going to be marba that. What are we adding with the words v'etzem lo yishbruvoy, which we said is a classic example of a lav that's not nitik la'eseh, because once you broke the bone, there's no unbreaking it. So which other lav like that in connection with the Pesach are we including that applies to Pesach Sheni? So that would be al toch l'meno no, the mitzvah that the Torah tells us don't eat from it half cooked. What prat are we excluding? Where the Torah tells us, don't shech the korban pesach while you have chametz in your possession. Now we already had that. We said we don't have bal yira bal yimotze, and we don't have teshbisu sovim batechem. But Rashi explains the Gemara is saying, we might have thought, fine, you're allowed to have chametz in your possession while you're eating the korban pesach, but you don't have a mitzvah to get rid of it, and you don't have an issue of keeping it around. But maybe at the actual time you're shechting Pesach Sheni, you can't have chametz in your possession. So let's say you would be mafkir your chametz temporarily while you're shechting the korban Pesach, and then you'd reacquire it afterwards. Therefore, we need to be told that no, even that issue of loisishchat al chametz dam zivchi also doesn't apply. Again, the question is epochana. You would argue that you should flip it around and say that maybe lo sishchat chametz applies and al toch l'meno no doesn't apply. And again, the answer is mitzvah degufei adif. Again, a mitzvah that has to do with the actual korban pesach itself is stronger. Okay, so that's how we get. Which mitzvahs of pesach rishon apply to pesach sheni. The rule, therefore, is any mitzvahs that are, and for each category of mitzvah, we have to find the mitzvah begufoy, and that applies, the mitzvah begufoy of that category that applies, and then we have to find the mitzvah that's not begufoy that of that category and say that one doesn't apply. So we have then, within the category of esses, sli esh applies, but tashbisu sa'or does not apply. Within the category of lava nitik la'ese, loisotzi mimenu applies, not taking it out of the area where you're eating it, but lo yiro lo yiro ba yimotze doesn't apply. And within the category of lav that's not nitik la'ese, al tochlim and a no is included, but loisishchat al chametz dam zivchi is not included. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Harishon Ton Halabachim Losev Chula. We said that the Pesach Rishon, you have to say Halal while you're eating it, but Pesach Sheni you don't. So Menahani Mili, where do we know that from? Amar Rabbi Yechon, Meshumar, Shemini Haitzadak, Omakro, you have a Pesach in Yeshaya, Hashir Yilachem, this song will be for you. Rashi over here explains it means on the day that Mashiach comes, that you get out of Golos. Rashi on the Pesach says it means the day when Sancheirev is defeated. Which, I mean, is not really all that different, because we know that the Eibishter wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach, but yeah. Anyway, so this song will be for you, Kileil Hiskadish Chog, like the song that you sing on the night when the Yom Tov is holy. Now, what night of Yom Tov do you have when you say Shira is only Pesach night? It's only Pesach night. Therefore, we learn from that Laila Hamakodesh Lachag Tohen Halal, only a night which is Kodesh as a Yom Tov, namely Pesach Rishon, do you need Halal? Laila Shein Makodesh Lachag Ein Tohen Halal, but Pesach Sheni is not a Yom Tov. Therefore, the pasuk is telling you that you don't have to say halal then. Now, the point is, though, that we're only being mamayit. So as the Gemara is going to say next, we're only being mamayit the night. There's no mirut for the day. Therefore, by day, which is when you shecht in the korban, then you have to say halal by both of them. So that's the next one. Zeb zeton and halal basiyos. We said that both of them you need to say halal while you're bringing the korban. So my timer. So why should you need to do that? So one possibility, you both say malayla kamamayit, yoim loy kamamayit, because we just said the miut from shashir yelachem kileil hiskadish chag is only being mamayit a night that's not yomdiv. It's not being mamayit a day. Therefore, the Korban Pesach is being offered during the day. Therefore, you need to say halal both times. Be boisema, or another possibility, it's a logical thing. Efshav Yisrael shechtin es pischem v'noitin es lulavein. How could it be possible the Jewish people are shechting their Korbanos Pesach or taking their lulavim, both of which are things of simcha that are done in the Beis Mikdash, the ein omim halal, and it shouldn't say halal together with it. So for that reason alone, logically, we have to say that the Pesach Sheni, the same thing, it's also being brought in the Beis Mikdash. Therefore, halal should be said together with it as well. Obviously, lulav is not relevant over here. Rashi says that just it's a brisa that goes that way, which we're going to quote in the last perek of our Masechta. So therefore, the Gemara quotes both parts of it over here, even though, of course, here we're only focusing on Shechtin Korban Pesach. As far as Noitan the Silvain, the vote is the rest of the 7 days. Midarai said it's done only in the Beis Mikdash. The original din was that we take the lulav only one day anywhere outside the Beis Mikdash, and 7 days in the Beis Mikdash after the Churban, Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai made a takana that we take it everywhere 7 days zeichel the Mikdash. Yeah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah of an Echol and Sliv, we said the Korban Pesach, both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, have to be eaten roasted. We said they're Doicha Shabbos. We said they're both Doicha Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says, Shabbos ain Tumaloi. So apparently, the implication of the Mishnah is that they're only Doicha Shabbos, but not that they're Doicha Tuma. Now, why is that? Masnissin to like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, evidently. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Doicha is a Shabbos, Fein Doicha is a Tumah. The Tanakama of the Braisa says, like our Mishnah, that the Pesach Sheni is Doicha Shabbos, but it's not Doicha Tumah. In other words, if you had, like this, we know Pesach Rishon is Doicha Tumah. If most of the Kohol is Tmeim, then they make it the Tumah. But Pesach Sheni is not like that. You have to be Tahor to bring the Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm after Doicha is a Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's Doicha Tumah as well. So our Mishnah that doesn't mention that is not like Rabbi Yehuda, evidently. So my time at the Tanakama. So why does the Tanakama say that Pesach Sheni is different? So the reason is the whole point why you have a Pesach Sheni is the guy was Tomei. So what's the point? So what would be the good? What would be the good of him making Pesach Sheni with Tumah? He might as well just okay that year he's not bringing a Korban Pesach. That's why the Tanakama says it's not Doicha Tumah, because the whole point of the Pesach Sheni is to be able to do it b'tahara. V'Rabbi Yehuda, where's Rabbi Yehuda? Would answer no. I've told her chazru all of last sois b'tahara. The Torah gave him a chance to do it b'tahara, but loy zocha. But if he wasn't zocha to do it b'tahara, yasa b'tumah. At least he shouldn't miss Pesach for that year. At least he shouldn't miss the Korban Pesach for that year. Let him bring it b'tumah as well. The halacha, of course, is like the Chachamim, which is the Stam Mishnah, that therefore Pesach Sheni does not come to Tumah. Person is Tomei Pesach Sheni. That's it. Then that's it. Yeah. Okay. Tana Rabbanu. We learn in a Braisa. Pesach Rishon Doicha Es HaShabbos. Pesach Sheni Doicha Es HaShabbos. Both Pesach Rishon and Sheni are Doicha Shabbos, as we said in the Mishnah. Pesach Rishon Doicha Es HaTumah. Pesach Sheni Doicha Es HaTumah. Both of them are also Doicha Tumah, which, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda. Also, Pesach Rishon, Tohen Lina, Pesach Sheni, Tohen Lina. Also, both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, you have to stay overnight in Yerushalayim afterwards. Now, Rashi explains like this. After you bring Pesach Rishon, then you anyway have to stay in Yerushalayim because the next day is Yom Tov. You can't travel that far. But the point is, when we say Tohen Lina, what it means is that let's say your house is within the Tchum, then after you're not Chayev in Lina anymore, you would be allowed to go to your house or to your tent. The Lashon and the Pasuk is actually for Nisav Abokav HaLachta LaYalecha, you go to your tent, implying, let's say you have your tent pitched someplace outside Yerushalayim, it's within the Tchum, so you'd be able to walk there on Yom Tov. Nevertheless, on the first day of Yom Tov, So that first night, when the Korban Pesach is being eaten, you have to stay over in your Yerushalayim itself, not anywhere outside the wall. The next morning, fine, you can't go all the way home, but you'd be allowed to go to your tent or to your vacation house or whatever within 2,000 amos of Yerushalayim. It could be outside the wall, but as long as it's within the Tchum. Or you made an Eid of Tchum and then you have 4,000 amos. In other places, actually, Rashi learns differently that Tohen Lina means, of course, you have to stay the whole first day in Yerushalayim anyway, it's Yom Tov, but it means that the next morning, the morning of Chol HaMoed, you can head home. So that's by Pesach Rishon, you're required to do that. So Pesach Sheni, this Braisa is saying also, you have to do that. You have to stay over that night and you can only leave the next morning. So let's figure out, Doiches Atroma Keman Kerabi Hoda. Now, if you're mentioning in this braisa that Pesach Sheni is doicha tumah, obviously that has to be according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we just said the Chachamim said it's not doicha tumah. The problem with that is, Rabbi Yehuda, Tohen Lina, are you telling me according to Rabbi Yehuda that you have to stay overnight after Pesach Sheni? V'hatanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, minayin lePesach Sheni she'ein Tohen Lina. How do we know that Pesach Sheni, you don't need Lina? You can leave right away. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, V'nisav aboka v'halachta lo'yalacha. Where do we learn this concept of Lina is because the Torah says in the morning, you can turn around and go to your tents. Again, according to Rashi over here, it means the morning of Yom Tov, you can already leave the city of Yerushalayim proper and go to your tent in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. According to Rashi in other places, it means that you can leave the morning of Chol HaMoed. But how do we know? So it says, "Fanisim abayikav alachta lalacha." Uchtiv, and the next pasuk continues, "Sheishes yomim toicha matzis." For the next 6 days, you have to eat matzis. So therefore, he says, you have a hekesh hanechal l'shishon ton lina. Only when you're eating matzah afterwards for another 6 days, only then do you require lina. She'ein nechal l'shishon ton lina. Pesach sheni, you're not eating matzah for 6 days afterwards. Therefore, you don't need lina. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda holds you don't need lina for Pesach sheni. So how can the braisa we just quoted say that you do, according to him? The answer is trei tanoim. Al libid Rabbi Yehuda. You have two tanoim who argue what Rabbi Yehuda said. They both agree that Rabbi Yehuda said that it's doicha tumah, like we said before. But one of them holds that Rabbi Yehuda also said it requires lina, like Pesach rishon, and the other one says it doesn't. Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion over here that maybe by Pesach Rishon, maybe Lina means that actually not only that maybe what it means is Bechlal, that every time you bring a korban, you have to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. So in that case, when it comes to Pesach, practically speaking, it means you're staying in Yerushalayim the whole Pesach because every day you're supposed to bring a korban because you have to have Shalmei Simcha. You have to be eating meat and you have to be eating meat. No, you don't have to bring you don't have to be bringing an oilas re'iyah, you only bring once, a chagiga, you only bring once, but you do have to be eating korbanos every day. So, on the other hand, Tosfos says, look, I mean, for that reason alone, you don't need to, you have after all with shlomim, you have 2 days to eat them. So you could shecht one day and then you still have the next day to eat it. That would still allow you to go and spend the night outside your shlomim, the rest of the other nights. Also, you have other people who could shecht the shlomim and you could eat those. Mishnah says, HaPesach Shabba B'tumah. Now, if the Korban Pesach is being brought, so now we're done with the dinim of Pesach Sheni. Now we're going to get, the rest of this parak is going to deal with various miscellaneous dinim that have to do with the Korban Pesach. So HaPesach Shabba B'tumah. So if the Korban Pesach Rishon, and according to the Yehuda also Sheni, is brought B'tumah. Now we said, Tmei Mes are allowed to bring it. We talked about maybe that Tmei Sheretz are allowed to eat it as well, but only people who are tomei from things like that they touched. But lo yochlemen or zavim bezavis nidus v'yoldus, people who tumah comes out of their own body are not allowed to eat from it. The same way as we said before, we learned previously that the only kind of tumah that would doicha that would doicha in order to bring the Korban Pesach is tumas maga, is tumas mes or tumas sheretz or whatever. But if most of the people are zavim or whatever, we still don't bring Pesach rishon. So by the same token, then the zavim, even if the Pesach is brought by tumah, they still can't eat from Pesach rishon. They still can't eat from the Pesach. V'im ochlu p'turim mikaris, but if they do, then they're potter from karis. They're still going to be chayev malkus, but they're the says the svas emes, but they're going to be potter from karis. As the Gemara is going to learn that where it's where tmeim are allowed, where some tmeim are allowed to eat it, then the other tmeim who eat it are not chayev karis. Rabbi Eliezer poiter afal bias mikdash. Rabbi Eliezer says not only they're potter from the zovim and so forth from karis if they eat the korban pesach, they're also potter from karis if they enter the azara. Even though again they have no right to enter the azara because only the tmei mes have the right to enter the azara and bring the korban pesach. But nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer says, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that even so, if they did go into if the zovim went into the azara, they're potter from karis. Again, they can be chayev malkus, but yeah. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Tanabanan zovim v'zovis nidus v'yodus tra'ochla b'pesach shabab b'tumah. If these people that tumah yotza aleim migufam, if they ate a korban pesach that was brought b'tumah, yochol yiyu chayovim. You would think they should be chayev kares. No, tamud loyma. Therefore, the pasuk says kol tahor yechabaser. The pasuk says everybody who's tahor is allowed to eat the meat of the korbanus, which from that we see the tmeim are not allowed to. And the pasuk continues. If a person who's tomei eats from a korban, then he gets kares. Therefore, we learn from that hekesh, the fact that it says kol toho yechal baser, and then it mentions the penalty for the tmeim, nechol tahorim, only if the korban is being eaten by tahorim, chayavim ala b'shum tomei, only then as a person who eats from it who's tomei chayav kares, v'she'enin nechol tahorim, en tmein, chayavim ala b'shum tomei. If it's not being eaten by the tahorim, as in this case, it's brought b'tumah, and it's being eaten b'tumah, then the tmeim are potter from kares for eating it. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says, now Rabbi Eliezer had said in the Mishnah that the tmeim are also potter from kares for entering the azara. So where does he learn this from? Rabbi Eliezer, yochol dochu zovin v'nichnasu l'azara. You would think that if the zovin pushed their way in and made it into the azara, the pesach abba b'tumah, when the korban pesach is being brought b'tumah, yochu yehu chayovin, you would think that they should be chayev kares, because after all, they have no business being in the bais hamikdash, because even their kind of tumah is not the kind that's nidcha for the korban pesach. No. Tamad Leima. Therefore, the pasuk says, "V'yishalchu min ha-machna kol tzaruah v'chol zav v'chol tomei l'nefesh." The pasuk says they should send out of the machna all the mitzaroyim, all the zavim, and everybody is tomei l'nefesh. So he says it means bizman shetmeim meisim mishtalkin. When the tmei meisim are being sent out, then zavim and mitzaroyim mishtalkin. Then the zavim and the mitzaroyim are also sent out, and now if they come in, they're chayiv kares. But if the Tmei Mes are not sent out, because in this case, the Pesach is being brought b'tumah, and they're perfectly allowed to enter the Azara, then the Zavim and the Mitzorayim don't have to be sent out either. So again, they're supposed to stay out, but they're not going to be Chayev Kores for it. So that's where he gets it from. Okay. Where's the Tanakama? Rashi says the Tanakama doesn't darshan it like that because we learned before, when we had the whole sugya of which machnos, which tmeim have to stay outside of, we said that it needs to mention separately, called tsarua, v'chol zav, v'chol tamil nefesh, to teach us that each one has a different number of machnos that they have to stay out. The tsarua, all three of them, the zav, two of them, the tamil nefesh, one of them. So we don't have it available for this hekish of saying that when some of them are allowed in, then all of them are allowed in. Okay. Boy, Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef asked the question, Doch utmei meis v'nichnasu lahecho b'pesach. What about if these tmeim meisim went into the heichel? Now they have no business in the heichel because there's nothing about the korban pesach that needs to be brought in the heichel. On the other hand, though, the fact is there's no separate. Now there is an issur for the koyanim to go in there, even for the koyanim to go in there if they're not going there for the purpose of the avoda. But on the other hand, there's no specific issur kores for the heichel alone. The issur kores for the heichel is included in the one for the azara. So in this case, if we're saying there were the tmeim who usually would be chayev kares, in this case, we're allowing them lachatchila to go into the azara to bring the korban pesach. So if they went into the heichol, are they chayev anything for that? Do we say midi ishtri trumas azora ishtri nami trumas heichol? Do we say once the truma of the azora is allowed, then going into the heichol b'truma is also allowed, and therefore they're not chayev for it? Or doma midi ishtri ishtri midi lo ishtri lo ishtri? Maybe not. Maybe only what was mutter is mutter, and what was not is not. So therefore they'd still be chayev for going into the heichol. They'd still be over on the isur lo yavei b'chol eis. Omar Rava. So Rava answers, look, Omar Krava Yishalchu min ha-machna. The pasuk says they should send out from the machna, meaning afilu miktsas machna, meaning even a little bit of the machna. Min means from. So it means, in other words, even if they're not being sent out of the whole machna shkina, the whole azara, because they're allowed to go in and bring the korban pesach, nevertheless, they have to be excluded from the heichel. and therefore they would be chayiv if they go into the hay. Ikadamri, but another version goes the other way around. Omar Rava, Omar Krovi, Shalchum and Amachna, and Mechutz LaMachna to Shalchum. The Pasuk mentions twice that the Tmeim have to be sent out of the Machna. First, it says they should send from the Machna, which we just said the word from can mean the Hechel, but then it says, El Mechutz LaMachna, outside the Machna completely, without making any exceptions. So it means, Kol Hecha de Kurin and Be, El Mechutz LaMachna de Shalchum, Kurin and Be, is Shalchum and Amachna. Only when El Mechutz LaMachna de Shalchum, only then does Min HaMachna apply. But here, Mechutz LaMachna de Shalchum does not apply, because the Tmeim are allowed to come into the Azorah to bring the Pesach. Therefore, Min HaMachna, which refers to the Hechel, doesn't apply either, and therefore the Isser of them going into the Hechel doesn't apply either, so therefore they're not getting Malkus for going into the Hechel unnecessarily. Again, we're not saying that Tosfos still says they're still going to be over on it. They're still going to be over on an Esther because they're not supposed to go into the Hechel, but they're not going to be Chayav Kores for it. Rashi brings a different girsa over here. Rashi brings a different girsa from his Rebbeim the other way around. That first we mentioned on Mechutz LaMachna to Shalchum, meaning the Hechel, and then via Shalchum and Amachna refers to the whole Azara, the opposite of what we said, that Min Amachna refers to the Hechel and Mechutz LaMachna refers to the Azara. Either way, it comes out the same thing. In other words, according to the second version, and this is the halacha, is that only when the Tmeim are not allowed to go into any part of the Azara, then if they go into any part, including in the Hechel, then they're Chayiv Kares, but once they're not excluded from the Azara, then the Isur Kares or the Isur Lav of going into the Hechel doesn't apply either, and not that they're allowed to. Again, as Tosfos says, they're Oivan and Esther if they do, but at least they're not getting Kares and they're not getting Malkus. Okay. Shabbat, everyone.